Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The U.S. Department of Energy is responsible for advancing the energy, environmental, and nuclear security of the United States, promoting scientific and technological innovation in support of that mission, sponsoring basic research in the physical sciences, and ensuring the environmental cleanup of the nation's nuclear weapons complex. To be successful in these areas involves better aligning mission support functions with mission delivery. Given the critical challenges facing government today, the ability of government executives to properly align mission support with mission delivery can help them respond more effectively to their mission and management challenges, as well as driving change within their departments. What are the key management and operational challenges facing energy? How is energy progressing in its environmental management cleanup efforts? What are the department's IT goals and priorities? And how is energy changing the way it does mission support? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, David Klaus, Deputy Undersecretary for Management and Performance within the U.S. Department of Energy. Well, David, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Great. Thanks. Glad to be here.
David, many of our listeners are generally familiar with the Department of Energy as an organization. But before we delve into specific initiatives, perhaps you can give us a brief overview of the history and continued evolution of energy's mission. When was energy created?
Well, the Energy Department actually was born during World War II as the Manhattan Project. Actually, President Roosevelt started it in response to a letter from Albert Einstein. A group of nuclear scientists, many of them based at the University of California, moved forward on an initiative to develop the first nuclear weapons as a way to bring a swift end to the war. Sort of the core elements of that were the sort of the development of nuclear weapons in Los Alamos and the production of uranium for that purpose in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and the production of plutonium in Hanford, Washington. Over time, the department's mission has evolved, and we really now have about four major missions. One of them continues to be the national security mission of the department. We are, as the Department of Energy, the civilian entity responsible for the development and management of nuclear weapons. A second major component, and it comes in many respects out of, but is very much broader than the nuclear security mission, is that the Department of Energy is the home of the basic science research within the U.S. government. And it is everything from where the universe came from to providing the amazing scientific tools that no single entity could afford, but which everyone needs, such as high-performance scientific tools that allow you to look inside molecules and atoms and viruses, et cetera, and develop new medicines, develop new materials, et cetera. And we have 17 national laboratories spread across the country, which both do very fundamental and important research themselves, but also provide scientific tools for our economy and for the rest of the world. The third mission of the department is the applied energy missions of the department. We have offices of fossil energy, nuclear energy, energy efficiency and renewable energy, EERE. And these are applied energy programs where we try and both support some of basic research in those areas, but also try and move these technologies forward, whether it's through appliance efficiency standards in EERE, helping with the development of wind and energy technology, providing grants for small nuclear reactor developments, et cetera. The third mission is really this applied energy mission, and that, as you know, we are the Department of Energy, and that's core to it. The fourth of those missions is the environmental management mission, because over the 60 years of full production of the nuclear weapons, our complex produced an enormous amount of nuclear waste and materials, and it is going to take us 40 to 50 years to clean those up. So in many respects, that is a mission unto itself. And those really are sort of the four core missions of what the department does.
So, David, with such a broad and complex mission set, could you give us a sense of the scale of operation? You kind of alluded to it, of the department. And where I'm going is, how is it organized? What's the size of its budget, number of FTEs, and more particularly its geographical footprint?
Well, we have about 13,500 federal employees and 104,000 contractor employees. The department operates very much through management and operation contracts for the national laboratories, but we also operate under contract the facilities that produce and manage and basically work on the nuclear weapons. Our footprint is across the entire United States. We actually have land territory larger than the state of Delaware, if you put it all together. Some of our facilities up in Idaho is over 900 square miles. And so we manage just an enormous, enormous resource. I think just to perhaps give you some sense of the scale of it, and this is actually sort of referring back to the time when the department was the primary, its primary mission was the development of materials for nuclear weapons. We consumed approximately 10% of the electric power produced in the United States. Wow. That power was necessary for the production facilities that served that mission. I think our budget is about $28, $29 billion. And about $7.5 billion of that is in the Office of Management and Performance, which of which I'm the Deputy Undersecretary.
That's a great transition. So what about your role as Energy's Deputy Undersecretary for Management and Performance? Could you tell us what your specific responsibilities and duties are? And how do you support the overall mission of the department?
Well, that's actually a good way to describe it. We are the department's primary mission support organization. And what you would think of as mission support organizations for a cabinet department reside within the Office of Management and Performance. Secretary Moniz, when he came to office almost a year and a half ago, reorganized the department to try and pull together those primary support functions for the department. So we include, for example, the Chief Human Capital Officer. We include the Chief Information Office. We include the primary support functions for environmental protection, health, safety, and security of our workers and the public that surrounds our facilities. And if you go back and understand what our missions are, you'll appreciate the importance of maintaining nuclear safety and security and worker protection. Other offices include what we call the Office of Management that includes the project management expertise and acquisition and procurement expertise that sets policies and provides support to the programs across the department that actually implement the missions of the department. But in addition to that, we also have the Office of Environmental Management, which, as I described earlier, is about a $5.8 billion per year cleanup of the nuclear waste that resides across our complex. So that it's really the combination of what you would think of as the mission support organizations plus environmental management. And we have a small office called Legacy Management that actually oversees the sites that we and the Army Corps of Engineers clean up. There's about 200 of those across the country where we've actually accomplished cleanup and we manage those sites.
So, David, given your portfolio of responsibilities, it's kind of like you alluded to this, but I'd like you to be more specific about some of your top challenges, say your three top challenges you face in your position, and how have you sought to address them?
Again, just sort of in this case, looking really at the Office of Management and Performance, one of our top challenges is project management. The management of the cleanup of the nuclear waste, we have made a commitment in a number of locations, both in the Savannah River and in Hanford, Washington, and also in Idaho. We've made a commitment in two of those locations actually to take this high-level waste, very toxic, radiologically hot waste, and to glassify it. And what that does is it accomplishes two objectives. One is it puts it into a safe form for disposal, but it also renders it completely unusable for future weapons purposes, consistent with the non-proliferation. To do that, we have facilities that really are quite expensive. We have a facility that we are developing and building up in Hanford that is about a $12.2 billion complex of facilities, one of which handles the low-level waste, one handles high-level waste, one does pretreatment. Each one of those are massive industrial facilities. We have similar facilities down in Savannah River, in Idaho, and that's just the major capital projects, if you will, that our Office of Management and Performance has, the National the NNSA, our Nuclear Weapons Management Office itself has two or three other major projects. One of the great challenges that the department faces is managing these projects. They are one-of-a-kind projects. The technical challenges, there is no place else in the world are they dealing with these materials and trying to process them. And so we have great technical challenges and also construction challenges. So I would say number one challenge from a management standpoint is to improve the project management of those facilities, and that is a priority of the secretaries as well. I'd say a second challenge for us in a management context is our workforce. Mm-hmm. We probably, I would say somewhere between around a fourth of our workforce is eligible to retire within 5 to 7 years. And we're actually finding that employees are retiring, that sort of the wave of retirements that we previously had expected and that was that and that hadn't appeared in the last couple of years is actually coming around. As I've sometimes said, you know, when your 401k is a 201k, you don't retire. But the economy's come back. And so actually this year so far in this year, and we're in September, we've actually had as many retirements as we did in the previous 2 years, each of the previous 2 years. So tendency for many employees is when they retire, they do so at the end of the year. We think that this wave of retirements is going to continue and build. If you look at the demographics of our workforce, that's going to happen. And these really are people who've spent their careers at the department, and many of them are senior leaders. They're nuclear scientists. They're managers. There are real technical expertise. And I'd say second great challenge I'd put would be really workforce management and dealing with the challenges of putting together the workforce that we want in the future.
So along with these challenges that you've encountered, leading such a critical mission support portfolio can be fraught with unanticipated and unexpected surprises. I'd be interested, since you've taken this role over, what has surprised you most?
Well, this is actually my second time at the department. I was the head of the Office of Management back at the end of the Clinton administration when Bill Richardson was secretary, and I sometimes describe myself as a recidivist. In some respects, the department's actually become, in between the time that I was here and the time that I'm here now, the department's actually become more fractured a little bit. I think it's become more siloed than it was, at least in terms of some of the management functions. When I was previously here, we had a very central human capital function, and now some of that authority and the responsibility for doing those human capital functions has been spread out amongst the programs. And what I think we're finding is a somewhat inefficient way. I previously had not, when I was in the Office of Management, had not been involved in the environment management portfolio of the department. And so this is my first real time working in the environmental management portfolio. And actually, one of the things that has surprised me is the extent to which it is each of the management of all of our facilities across the country in terms of a cleanup is actually subject to just an enormous number of court orders and mandates and deadlines and regulatory oversight. That's not necessarily a bad thing because the way the federal government works, because of, if you think about what our sites are, is they are large sites with large amounts of waste. They are Superfund sites and subject to the CERCLA, the Superfund law, and regulation under CERCLA, as well as we are waste disposal sites, and those sites are subject to RCRA. And much of the authority for the implementation of those statutes has been passed down to the states. And so you have the unusual circumstance of having the federal government's operation at a massive federal facility being subject to state regulation. And when we have not met deadlines or we are not in compliance with standards, they take us to court. And so you have the federal government in court as the defendant in a case for the enforcement of federal statutory environmental regulations and requirements, where in essence the other side of that suit is a state. And at issue is how we will spend what is often hundreds of millions or billions of dollars. And I think one of the things that has surprised me is I had not appreciated, was the extent to which the complex structure of court orders and agreements and regulatory enforcements has the cleanup mission that the department does subject to all of these varying requirements, as well as the enormous challenge of working with the U.S. Congress to get the funds to be able to meet the commitments that we make. Sort of that, I think sort of that complex structure of dealing with the Congress to try and both be accountable to the Congress, because we are accountable to Congress, dealing with the courts and the court orders and those requirements and meeting those statutory requirements and meeting the expectations of the local communities. That's a really much more complex structure than I'd previously appreciated when I was at the department.
Yeah. So being a self-proclaimed recidivist and a second tour of duty as a leader within energy, I'd like to get a better sense of your leadership style and key principles that have guided your leadership approach. Perhaps you could outline some of those and illustrate them.
Without attributing, you know, sort of one style or another to any particular secretary or any particular cabinet, you know, over the time that I've served in government, I've noticed, I think anyone who's served in government will see that when an administration comes in or a cabinet secretary comes in, they face a choice. And at one end is the question of whether they will try and manage the department with their cadre of political appointees and work with them to try and accomplish the missions of their particular agency or department. And then at the other end of that spectrum is to say we have a set of career civil servants all the way from SES down to, you know, across the board to GSs, et cetera, and contractor employees, and to see them as integral to the way in which you accomplish both the missions of the department and, frankly, the objectives of that particular administration or your particular secretary. Our secretary really believes in utilizing all of the resources of the department and engaging all of our career employees, our career SES, et cetera, and having them really manage and accomplish the objectives that we believe they have and we have. They're, you know, government employees come to work because they believe in the missions of the department. They believe in the missions of government, and we want to engage them and work with them. And if you had to say what's my style or what's my approach to this, it's really to do that. It's that we have tremendously talented people working within the Office of Management Performance. Each of the leaders of the different pieces of organizations that report up to us, from the chief human capital officer to the heads of environmental management to the CIOs, et cetera, we have extremely talented people. And I won't say I don't want to get in the way of them. I'd like to hope we do things together. But sort of my style really is to engage them and work with them and together accomplish the goals of this secretary, of President Obama, and that Congress and the American people have set out for this department to do.
What are the key operational challenges facing the U.S. Department of Energy? We will ask David Klaus, Deputy Undersecretary for Management and Performance within the U.S. Department of Energy, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.